It's good to be with those that are here today. It's good to be with those online. Hey, continue to pray for people in our church. Got some sickness going around. I don't know, something's going on out there. It seems like it just won't go away, does it? And so we've got, and being that, like, our worship leader, Justin, and his wife are both ill, and so it's best for them to be at home recovering today. And so we're grateful for the team that can jump in. By the way, if you're a guest with us today, make sure that you grab a bag in the back. We've got a, you can't miss it. It's bright orange. We just didn't want you to miss it, man. Just like eye-piercing orange back there. So it's got some stuff in there for you. We'd just love for you to have that gift, and we're really glad that the Lord brought you here today. This morning, we come to the end. Oh, by the way, I want to introduce my friend Joe. You can't miss him. He's like as tall as the ceiling. But Joe is from Kansas City, and the church that I was associate pastor at, he is from there. And basically, we're there the whole time, and you're still there. And so we're grateful for that you're here and down here for business. So glad you're here with us today. I'd say mess up his hair or do something with him, but he's a little tall for that. But maybe Charles. Yeah. Hey guys, we are in this morning. We come to the end of our first series in the new year titled Walking with God. And during our time, we've been looking to the Bible to see that we were made to walk with God. We weren't made to have a distant relationship with Him. We were made to walk with Him, to pursue Him, to be in His Word. We also saw that we're to continually seek Him in prayer and to spend time with Him and know that He's our perfect Father in heaven, the one that loves us. We also saw that part of our walk with Him over the last few weeks is that we're to seek Him and His will and to be obedient and to surrender to Him in all areas of our life. And so on a personal level, we're made to have a real and close personal relationship with God. And then last week, we looked at Hebrews chapter 10 and saw that it's not just a personal walk, but that God calls us to walk with others. Part of our walk with God is to walk with others. We were never meant to walk alone. Church, we just don't see that in the Bible. We don't see that we're supposed to be this Lone Ranger Christian. You just don't see that. We're called to walk with God. We're called to walk with others and to be committed to the body of Christ. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 10, God's word tells us that we need each other, right? We help each other. We covered this last week. We help each other draw near to God. We help each other hold on to the hope during difficult times. We help each other grow in love and good works. So we help each other grow in our walk with Jesus. We also saw that as Jesus followers, we are to be committed to our church family. We're in a day and age where being committed to any family, being committed to anything is less and less. But God says that we are to be committed to gathering together regularly. And we're also being committed to encourage one another. And so we're made to walk with God. We're made to walk with God together. And today we're going to see that part of our walk with God is to be on mission with God. It's to be on mission with God in the world. And to see that, I want to invite you to open your Bibles together. Let's open them together to Matthew chapter 28. If you need a Bible, we've got some back there that are our gift to you. They're on the table back there. We'd love for you to have one of those and for you to keep it. Church, this is a text that we see a lot. This is a passage that we talk about a lot. We refer to it often. I'd even say it's one of those passages that you should probably memorize. It's known as the Great Commission. It's Jesus' commission to us as Christ followers. If you're a Christian, these words are for you. It's a mission to us as His church family. And so these words from Jesus are vital. Because Jesus is telling us how we can walk with Him and be on mission with Him. And so join me in Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to spend our time together in verses 18 through 20. And guys, just so we can honor God and His Word, would you stand? And we're going to read this together, but Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. We're going to read this together. You guys follow along as I read. And here's what God says to us in His Word in Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Father, as we gather together as your church in person and online, God, we know that you're here. And so, God, in this moment, we surrender to you our ears so that we hear, our minds so that we can think and just converse with you, God. We pray, Lord, that our hearts would surrender to you and whatever it is that you would have us do. God, help us walk away saying, "Yes, Lord." So be in charge today. We ask all that in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. as we walk through this text, I want us to see the mission that God calls us to do and see some truths about His mission. But here's the first thing for us to know. Part of walking with God is also about being on mission with God. Right? We aren't supposed to walk with God and then say no to His mission. Amen, church? Like, I think we can do that, right? I think sometimes Christian thinks, hey, you know what? We're having our Bible study time. We're praying. We're in church on Sundays. We're even involved in groups and we're serving. And so we're good to go. But what we see here from Jesus is that not only is He inviting us to be a part of what He's doing all over the world, He's commissioning us. He's sending us out, church. He's saying that part of what it means to walk with God and to be a Jesus follower is to be on mission with Him. And so let's walk through this text and see what this mission is that Jesus calls us to be a part of. First thing we see is this. When it comes to this mission, it's found in verse 18, and it's this. Church, Jesus is the authority. Culture is not the authority. I'm not the authority. Jesus is the authority. Look at verse 18 with me. It says, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.'" I think that kind of sums up everything, doesn't it, church? Right? So leading up to this, Jesus has already been to the cross. Right? He's already suffered for you and died in our place. He's already risen on the third day. All of that has already happened. He's already defeated death, hell, sin, and the grave. And now He's been around for near 40 days, right? And He's been talking to people and teaching and teaching His disciples. And He's about to ascend to be with His Father. And these are some of His last words. And He's got His 11 disciples there. There were probably, from the context we can tell, there were probably others there as well that were listening to Jesus. And Jesus stands there and He begins by saying, He says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." When we look at this great commission, we like to jump right into what the mission is, but we're actually going to spend some time here for a little bit. We often skip over the first part of what Jesus says, but this is huge, church. He's making a statement to you and to me and to all followers of Christ. He's making a statement to our church this morning that He's in charge. Right? That He alone has the right to make a command and give that to us. He has the authority to call us to obey and follow Him. And we don't just see that here. It's not like Jesus, you know, just got excited and wanted to say it here. I mean, we see this throughout Scripture, that Jesus is in charge. He alone has the authority over His church and His mission. Just look at a few of them. Matthew chapter 16, Jesus says something very important. He says, "I will build my church," Jesus says. "And the gates of hell, the gates of Hades will not overpower it." It's His church. Ephesians 1:22 says this, "And He put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Jesus His head over all things to the church, which is His body." Ephesians 5:23 tells us that Jesus is the head of the church and the Savior of the church. Colossians 1:18 says that He, Jesus, is also the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He might come to have first place in everything. He should have first place in our church. Amen. Just one more. Just so we know that He's in charge. Philippians 2:10-11 says that at the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, church, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's in charge. He's the boss, church, to the glory of God the Father. It's important for us to know and be reminded that He is the authority. Because I think sometimes, even in the church, we like to take the position that we're in charge or that we set the mission. But Jesus is the authority. He's in charge. It's His mission that we get to be a part of, that we must be a part of. Church, how amazing is that? Listen to this statement. God doesn't need us. Right? But He loves us. He chooses us to be a part of His plan and His mission. We don't like to hear that. We talked about that a little bit in life group, and I said that you know, God doesn't need us, and the person was like, "I know it's true, but I don't like that. I want to be needed." Like, He uses us, church. Praise God for that. But God's mission is going to be completed whether we say yes or not. That's how much He's in charge. But it's amazing that we get to be a part of it. And so that leads us to this reality. We've not even got to the mission yet. But just knowing who Jesus is, just knowing that He is the authority, we can know that whatever the mission is, Whatever he tells us to do, we surrender to his mission. We surrender to his mission in our own life and in our church. It's the second thing on your notes. First thing is Jesus, the authority. And then we surrender to his mission in our life personally and in our church. We looked at Matthew chapter 6 a few weeks ago, and in that passage, Jesus teaches us to pray. To pray that his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His will be done in my life, in your life, as it is in heaven. His will be done at Authentic Life Church, as it is in heaven. And so that's our response to whatever it is that Jesus tells us to do. Whatever this mission is that Jesus is about to give us, we don't even really need to hear it first. But we can say, whatever it is, Jesus, I surrender. Because you're Lord, you're the Savior, you're the authority in my life, in my church, and on this mission. We're obedient to his authority. I think sometimes we read the Bible and we're like, okay, Jesus, I want to surrender, except for that verse. Amen, church, come on now, right? Like, we're like, I don't really like that one a whole lot, right? Man, we just say yes before he says it because we can trust him, right? He's God, we're not. We're obedient to his authority. We don't have to go and check with anybody. Jesus says, I got a mission for you. Well, let me check with Facebook real quick, right? Like, we don't need to do that. Let me call my wife real quick. We don't need to do that. We surrender to Jesus. All right, let's get to the mission that we get to be a part of. Jesus says in verse 20, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. So let's get to the heart of it here, church. What is the mission? What is Jesus calling us and sending us out to do? We find that just a few words into verse 20. Jesus says, make disciples of all nations. There's a lot more in here, but that's supportive of this statement here. Make disciples of all nations. That's the mission. His command, church. Make sure we write down that word command and not suggestion. His command is that we make disciples. What's a disciple? A disciple is a committed follower of Jesus. One that is with Jesus and learns from Jesus and communicates from Jesus and follows Jesus. And so Jesus says, if you are my disciples, you're to make more disciples. You know what this means is we're to be disciples who make disciples. He's speaking to Christians here, those who have been saved, those who have been rescued from their sins, those who have been adopted into God's family. He's speaking to our church here, and his command, his mission is for those who are disciples of Jesus, and he says, go and make disciples. To go and share the gospel of Jesus, to go and be his witnesses, to tell others. What do we tell them? That Jesus came to be with them. Right? We tell them that Jesus came to live the life that we could not live, to suffer and die in our place and die the death that we deserve to die, to pay the price that we owed. But guess what? He didn't stay dead. He rose again. Right? And so that's what we tell them. We tell them that no matter who they are or what they've done, Jesus came for them so that they could be forgiven and spend eternity with him. Praise God, just look back in the mirror of your life and that's a reflection. Okay, look back in the past of your life and just be like, God, are you sure? He's like, I got you, right? I know what you've done. There's no sin that he can't forgive. There's no person that he doesn't love. So we tell them. Notice what Jesus says, make disciples of all the nations. I think it's important for us to know this. One of the things we like to do at Authentic Life is go verse by verse, sometimes word by word. The word nations, it's an important word for us to know. It's not necessarily speaking of nations like the United States or Russia or China or whatever we would think that as. That is part of it. But the word nations is the Greek word ethnos. You say that with me? Ethnos. All right, you guys passed, right? It's ethnos, meaning people groups, meaning tribes, meaning nations. This is all people groups, whether they're separated by language or cultures or boundaries or borders. Jesus says, make disciples, share the gospel with all the people groups. Acts 1:8, Jesus says it this way. Jesus tells his disciples, go and be my witnesses. Tell others about me and who I am and what I've done. And start here in Jerusalem. And then go to the surrounding areas, yeah, to Judea and even to Samaria. And then go to the ends of the earth. You know what he's telling his disciples? He says, start where you are. And then go everywhere. And so what else does Jesus say about making disciples? He starts out by saying, go. Go and make disciples of all nations. The word go can sometimes be overemphasized or underemphasized. You might hear people say that the word go or this great commission is only for those that God is calling to go somewhere else, to be a missionary or to plant a church. And so we say, well, God is not calling me to go do that, and so we neglect the mission. But when we look at this word closely, it can mean to depart. That's one of the meanings of this word, to go. It means to depart, to go somewhere else. And so we can look at that and say, okay, this does mean to go to an unreached people group, to share the gospel. It could mean that I'm going to go plant a church in a different place. It could mean that God is calling you to go somewhere so that others can know the good news of Jesus. But this also, this word also means basically as you're going. As you, the definition literally in the Greek is as you go about your journey, as you walk, as you go. Meaning this, Christian, as you go about your day, be intentional about making disciples. As you raise your kids, be intentional about making disciples. Share the gospel with your kids. Read the Bible with your kids. Teach them how to pray. Let them see you follow Jesus. As you go out and play at the park with your neighbors, build a relationship with them. Tell them who you are. Get to know them. Tell them about Jesus. As you go to work, connect with them, right? Invite them out to your home or to dinner and tell them about Jesus. As you do life, part of what we are to do as Jesus followers is this, as we go about our day. Whatever it is that we're doing, we're to look for ways to be used by God to tell them about Jesus. This doesn't mean that every single conversation that we have has to be this. But here's the truth, church. Jesus left us here. Why else would he leave us here, church, right? He left us here to be on mission as we walk with him, and we're to be seeking God and praying and looking for opportunities to make disciples. We need to be intentional about it. One of the prayers that I love that we see in Scripture is Colossians 4:3. And Paul asked the church in Colossians, he said, hey, pray for me. And when you pray for me, would you pray that God would give me an open door? Why? So that I could share the gospel and that he would give me the words to say. And that's the idea here. As you go about your day or as God sends you out, we're to be intentional about this mission. So how do we make disciples? We live a life where we willingly go where he sends us. That's the next thing in your notes, to willingly go where he sends us. Because we're followers of Jesus, because he saved us, because he has the authority, we want our hearts to willingly go wherever God may send us. If you would have asked me so many years ago whether we would be in Tucson or any other place other than Kansas City, we would have said no. The Lord would have to send us. Guess what he did? He sent us. Willingly go where he sends us. I love this picture we see in Acts 13. In Acts 13, church planters love this book, man. It's just like God just doing big thing after big thing after big thing, and we see the church grow. But in this moment, they're at this place, a church called Antioch. You guys are familiar with that? The church of Antioch. Acts chapter 13. And Paul and Barnabas are a part of this church. And they're praying and they're serving and they're doing life with this church. And then it says this in verse 2, while they were ministering to the Lord, that means they were serving and fasting, the Lord, or the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, said, set apart for me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. Then, when they, who's they? It's the church, Paul and Barnabas and the whole church. When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they're just doing life. They're serving the Lord. They're seeking the Lord in prayer. They're focusing on what God wants by fasting. And then the Holy Spirit, God says, I'm going to send these two men out. And the church, what do? They affirmed that. They prayed, they fasted, they affirmed that. They sent them out to be missionaries, to plant churches, to spread the gospel. And church, I think this is a great measurement for us as a church. This is a hard question, but here's a great measurement for us. Are we ready and are we willing to send people out that God calls out of here? The answer has to be yes. If we're going to be a healthy church, the answer has to be yes. Are we ready and willing to send people out that God calls out to plant churches, to do missions overseas, to start campus ministries, to do prison ministries? Right? Whatever it is that God calls us to do, we as a church, we get to be used by God to equip and to prepare and to pray and support and then send out. And so as we seek God and his will in our life and in our church, we're to live our lives willingly to go wherever he sends us. Second is this. And this is for every single one of us, because here's the reality. God is not sending every Christian to India or to China or to an unreached church. Are you with me, church? Otherwise, there'd be nobody here, right? He's not sending everybody there. That's just not logical. But this, if you're saved today, this is for you. If you're a follower of Jesus, we're to live with intentionality to share the gospel. It needs to be intentional in our life. To live with intentionality to share the gospel. Sometimes we forget that God puts us where he has us on purpose. You need to know something this morning. We work where we work. We play where we play. We live where we live because that is where the Lord has placed us for his purpose, for his glory. And so knowing Jesus has commissioned us as we do life to make disciples, we're to live intentionally with those around us in mind. Yes, we should be inviting people to church, right? Please do that. Please invite people to church. I encourage you to do that every week, this week, and encourage someone to come to church, a place where they can see God's people, where they can be loved by God's people, right? Where they can hear the word of God preached, where they can hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Please invite people to Authentic Life Church. But here's something to remember. When you leave here, right, when you leave the church, you are the church entering the mission field. Your workplace is your mission field. Your neighborhood, your home, your park, your grocery store is your mission field. And if you happen to be the lucky sap that's sitting next to me on an airplane, man, that is my mission field. And we're going to talk for a couple hours about Jesus. Don't believe me? Ask my wife. Right? Here's the reality. Everybody in here, you are going to be around people that nobody else in here will. And so you build relationships with friends and family that we never will. And so as Paul asked for prayer, I believe that we should be praying, God, give me an opportunity to share Jesus with someone today. I really believe that should be part of our prayer in the morning, church. God, help me tell others. Help me share. And I want to let you in on some good news. We are called to share and love and tell. But here's some good news. We can kind of take a deep breath here. Jesus is the one who saves them. Jesus is the one who saves them. How they respond is between them and God. So let's live a life of surrender, right? A surrender to Jesus is leading. Let's live a life of intentionality to share Jesus. And when God calls us or gives us an opportunity, we say yes. We do it. We go for it. I want to share something with all of us. And this is just a real simple way to help us know whether we're living on mission or not. And church, I don't want you to answer out loud. This is between you and the Lord here. But if I were to ask you the question, how's your prayer life? Right? God wants us to spend time with prayer in him. You can probably remember the last time you prayed. We know that God wants us to be in the Word, right? He wants us to be in the Bible. It's to make it a priority. And so you could probably remember the last time that you were in the Word of God. We know that God calls us to forgive. He calls us to serve. He calls us to love others, right? I bet we can remember the last time that we served, forgave, or loved someone, right? I mean, we just remember those things. So knowing that God has called us to be on mission with him, that's part of our walk with him, to tell others about Jesus, to make disciples. The question for us this morning, this is a good way to know if we're walking with the Lord in this. When was the last time you shared Jesus? When was the last time that you prayed that God would give you an opportunity to share Jesus? That question isn't to make anybody feel bad. It's just a simple way for us to know if we're walking with God and on mission with him. Because that's part of it, church. By the way, we as a church, man, we would love to help you. Anytime that I go into neighborhoods or anybody else in here, man, there's some people in here that share the gospel. Well, we would love to help you grow in that area. We'd love to pray with you to help you grow, to be used by God in this. And let's be honest, church. For those of us in Tucson, God kind of makes it easy for us to live on mission and to share the gospel here. Because he has placed us in a city. Where 90 to 93% of the people around us do not know Jesus. They're lost. If the world were to end today, they would spend eternity in hell. We have a lot of opportunities, church. Most of the people we come in contact with each day here in Tucson probably do not know Jesus. Amen. We got to live with intentionality. And then, church, we're part of Tucson that is, it's growing. This part of Tucson, man, it's growing, isn't it, church? Right? More and more people moving here every week. Right? We got more and more opportunities to share the gospel. And I think it's also important to know this. The IMB, the International Mission Board, tells us that there is still about one third of the world that has never heard the good news of Jesus. Can you believe that? They've never even heard the good news of Jesus. He's made it easy for us. We've got a lot of opportunities. People that have never heard that Jesus came to save them from their sins. They've never heard that Jesus loves them. They've never heard that they can spend eternity in heaven with Him. And so because we've heard and we believed and we gave our lives to Jesus, we're to live under the authority of Jesus, to live with intentionality and to live willingly. Most of you guys, or maybe some of you, many of you guys have these wristbands that we hand out here, and we laid out some at the back table, so I would love for you to take it with you. But on one side, it says Authentic Life Church, and it's a reminder to pray for our church, to pray that God would use us and do things in and through us, and that we would be the church He's called us to be. On the other side, it's Matthew 9, 36 through 38. And that passage basically says that Jesus was out with the people. He's serving them, He's healing them, He's loving on them, He's teaching them. He was with the people. And then it says that when Jesus saw the people, and that word saw means he saw them with the intent to know them. When Jesus saw the people, He had compassion on them. You know what compassion is? It's a gut-wrenching love that requires action. That's what compassion is. To have compassion, we would say today that, you know, like, oh man, I love you with all of my heart. To have compassion back in the day, it meant to love you with all their bowels. Sounds romantic, doesn't it? Men probably wouldn't use that one today, okay? We're going to give it a try. We'll see. But it's a love that requires action. He says he saw the people and had compassion on them because they were scattered and weary like sheep without shepherd. And he said, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send workers into His harvest. This verse is showing us how to live on mission. It tells us that Jesus was with the people. He saw them. He had compassion on them. He saw that they were without hope. They were without eternal life. They were without forgiveness. They were without a Savior, right? And Jesus tells those around Him, church, listen to this. Don't miss this. He says, the harvest is plentiful. You know what that means? There are plenty of people ready to hear about Me. But then He says something that should just really grip our hearts, church. He says, but the laborers, the workers, those that are telling them, those that are doing the work are few. So pray that God would send workers into His harvest. That's why we do city engagement, church. It's because we love those in the city around us, but it's also to build relationships with them, to love them, right? To show them the love of Jesus, to have an opportunity to share the gospel with them. We got an opportunity, as Jeff talked about in a few weeks, to go to the fairgrounds, to have a table, meet people that are going to come to our table. Like, we don't even have to go door to door, church. Right? They're going to come to our table. We're going to talk to them. We're going to tell them about our church. We're going to invite them and pray that God opens up a door for us to share the gospel with them. In a few months, we're going to be in a park where we're going to have 7,200 Easter eggs. Yeah, I need you all to help pack them, all right? We're going to have more than 500 people at that park. We're going to have the same opportunity. Lord, would You give us an opportunity to share the gospel? Intentionally, being with the people, seeing them, having compassion on them, praying for them, ready to share. We have our Embrace ministry. Focuses on the sanctity of life, foster care and adoption. Where we get to serve and love on those in the foster and adoptive world. And we get to provide for them, pray with them. And if the Lord opens up the door, we share the gospel with them. Church, people have come to know Christ because of this Embrace ministry. I'm going to pause for a minute. I meant to do this before the service, but I have ADD, so I get off scot-free. Kevin, would you put that slide up there for me? I know I'm throwing you way off. This morning, some celebrated last Sunday, and then others celebrated today, is Sanctity of Life Sunday. Church, I'm gonna get real here for a second as we talk about this Embrace ministry. The reason that we do the Embrace ministry is because Jesus loves the baby from the womb all the way to the tomb. The Bible tells us that every person, man, woman, Democrat, Republican, black, white, brown, yellow, they were made in the image of God. They were created to have a relationship with God. They were created to walk with God and be loved by God. Amen? I'm just going to, right here, from the authority of God's Word, the reason we have the sanctity of life is because so many years ago today, abortion became illegal in our country. God forgive us. God forgive us. Amen? This is life, church. As God's people, we have got to stand up for life. We've got to stand up for those that are innocent, that are in the womb. But that also means we don't get off scot-free. We got to stand up for the mom that now is going to raise that baby. Amen? Man, we help provide for them and we love them and we come alongside them and we provide whatever it is that they need. We're called to do that. Forgive us for not, God. Can we pause and pray about that real quick? I'd just love to do that. Guys, I'm going to be honest with you. I know there's going to be a whole lot of other things that happen with this, but I'm praying that abortion becomes illegal this year in the United States of America. But that also means that the church must step up and serve in this area. Join and help out with pregnancy centers and help moms that have to make tough decisions that the dad kind of came in and got out. Amen, church? Are you with me? Right? And we also love all the way to the tomb, sanctity of human life. Let's pray. Father, we love you. God, thank you for reminding me of this moment. God, we love life because you love life. We love life because all life is created in the image of God. We love life because you came and gave your life for life. God, we see in Psalm 139 that you created us. You knit us together in the womb. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We're not to be pushed aside as a bad decision. God, we pray, Lord, as followers of Christ, we would love all life from the womb to the tomb, no matter what they look like, no matter where they're from, no matter what they do, that we would love life and value life. But that also means, God, that we've got to love the mom and the dad and the brothers and sisters and to serve them and love them. God, I pray, Lord, today for our nation, that we would be a nation that turns away from this sin. And repents of that. Forgive us. Have mercy on us, God. And God, this is going to open up a door. This ministry opens up many doors for us to share the gospel with broken people. Women that made that decision to terminate their pregnancy. God, they're still loved by you, and we have an opportunity to come by and let them know that you love them. Gives us an opportunity to come alongside families that are struggling and hurting and have decisions to make. And so, God, we pray, Lord, that as a church that wants to be on mission for you, that we see that as part of the mission. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, where are we at? Embrace ministry, right? So we have city engagement, church. You know what this means? We have an opportunity to go out and be Jesus in the community, like the people that people are going to, the Jesus that people will see. And so here's the thing, as your pastor, I'm going to say, man, when we have signups in the back, right, or passed around, when we have these opportunities to serve, I'm going to ask you, sign up, church. Let's have too many volunteers instead of us begging for volunteers later. Volunteers that are ready just to go out and serve and love and be on mission in church. If you think the Lord is, so that's just one opportunity. If you think the Lord is calling you to go somewhere else, to be on mission in India or China or wherever it may be, or Mexico, or to do any kind of other ministry, we'd love to pray with you about that. And Lord willing, send you out. So how can we live intentionally as people and as a church? When we think about our giving, church, our giving should reflect that we're on mission with Jesus in the world. Should. Our activity should give evidence that we are joining Jesus on his mission. Our prayer life should reflect that we are on mission. As a church, our vision, our mission, our strategy, our budget, they should all reflect that we are on mission with Jesus. All right, so we make disciples of all nations by going, but then, geez, we still got a couple hours to go, church. Are you guys good? Just kidding. Jesus says, When that person's saved, we baptize them. Go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I want to make a quick statement. Baptism does not save you. It comes after salvation, but it is the first step of obedience. And so if you've never been baptized, if you're saved by Jesus, if you've surrendered to Jesus, man, we need to do that. Let's get together. Let's talk about that. I'd love to talk about it, but it needs to be a priority in our life. Baptism is a public profession. It's us identifying with Jesus, us identifying with the church. The picture that we see in baptism is beautiful, church. Right, think about that. As we go down into the water and we come back up, we're showing the gospel. We're showing that Jesus lived and that he died for us and that he rose again. Guess what else we're showing? I just like doing this. I'm going to keep coming up with examples, right? It's also showing that that we are dead to our sins and Jesus rescued us from that. I got to hold this person down a little longer. They sinned a little more, right? But then they rose. I'm just kidding, y'all. I wouldn't do that. And they rise to a new life and walk with Christ. I saw some fearful faces. If you're going to get baptized, I want to hold you down there for like a minute, okay? It would be good. But this is saying this is what Jesus did in our life. We're showing that we belong to Jesus. And then Jesus says, make disciples by going, baptizing them, and then teaching them to observe all that commanded you. Church, here's another thing. We have a responsibility to come alongside new Christians. I remember serving at Billy Graham. You guys know Billy Graham, right? Billy Graham Crusade. My grandpa got saved at Billy Graham many years ago. And one of the things I love that they do is when I was at church in Kansas City, man, we got to be a local church that went down and prayed with these people and that we would get them connected with a local church. Billy Graham just didn't come in there and all these people got saved and then left them. Right? They got connected with a local church. We have the responsibility to teach them. We have the responsibility to help them study God's word, to help them learn how to pray. We have a responsibility to help them follow Jesus. We have a responsibility to let them see it in our own life. We come alongside them and help them walk with God. That's part of making disciples, sharing the gospel, and then helping them grow in their walk, showing them that God never intended them to do life alone, but to walk with Jesus in the church. And then last, we see Jesus gave us a promise. He says this, "And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Part of walking with God, part of being on mission with him is this, knowing that we're not alone. Church, Jesus is with us. He's with us. We're made to walk with God, and Jesus came to make that possible. Our sin messed that up, amen? Right? We were separated from God, but Jesus came to be Emmanuel, God with us. That's his name. That's who he is. And this is a great promise. We can know that no matter where we go, no matter what we've done, he is with us. And when it comes to this mission, we don't do the mission alone. He's with us. So to recap, we're made to walk with God. We're made to do life with one another as a church family. And part of walking with God and with our church family is to be on mission with him. And so what we've seen today, that when it comes to our lives and this mission, that Jesus is the authority. His command to us is to make disciples, to live willingly and intentionally on mission, knowing that he's with us. And church, as we close, you'll notice at the bottom of your notes and up on the screen as well that we have an opportunity to respond. Church, anytime we open up the Word of God, anytime we're in prayer, there's a moment for us to respond. And so as we come to this time, I would love for us to take these things to God. I would love this to just kind of steer our prayer time here for a minute. I would love for you to take this home and let it, again, help you be on mission for the Lord. And here they are. The first is this. Knowing that we're walking with God and we're to be on mission with Him, number one is, I think we should make the commitment, I will pray for the lost on a daily basis. I'll pray for the lost on a daily basis. I will give intentionally for the spread of the gospel. I will live intentionally to make disciples. And I will surrender to whatever God calls me to do to spread the gospel. I will pray, I will give, I will live, I will surrender to Jesus' authority. And so we're going to have our response time now. And if you guys would just bow your heads and close your eyes, I would love for you to let that steer your conversation with the Lord right now. If you're a Christian, I would love for you to pray about those things right now. God, help me live a life of surrender to you.